from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to our English program over at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by My Indonesia, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, News in Brief, Indonesian Wonder, Miss Lady, and Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today over at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. President Jokowi has the name of vice presidential candidate on his pocket. Indonesian researchers to study Muslim life in Germany. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dolot Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo confirmed to have vacated the name of his companion candidate for presidential and vice presidential candidate for 2019-2024 period. It was delivered after attending the closing ceremony of the National Conference of 98 Activists on Saturday, July 7 in Jakarta. On the occasion, Jokowi also expressed the hope that all parties can hold back until the right time for the announcement of the name of the vice presidential candidate who will accompany him in the 2019 presidential election.
Pada saat yang tepat nanti akan kita umumkan.
At the right moment, we will announce. Just wait for the right time. I already have, and it will be announced. Meanwhile, responding to the affecting discourse of Jakarta Governor Anies Baswedan, President Joko Widodo said he appreciated the plan. Jokowi said with the addition of candidates for presidential candidates and vice presidential candidates who will fight in the 2019 presidential election will increasingly provide opportunities for people to exercise the right to vote based on their respective choices. Election Commission will open the registration for presidential and vice presidential candidates for 2019 presidential election on August 4 to 10. The Commission is scheduled to appoint presidential candidate 2019 on September 20th, which will be followed by the start of legislative election and presidential campaign process on September 23rd. Indonesian President Joko Widodo answered the requests of a number of 98 activists at the 98 National Activist Meeting on Saturday, July 7 in Jakarta. A number of requests were made regarding the establishment of a national hero entitled for a number of students who were victims of the 1998 reform movement. Responding to the request, President Joko Widodo said he would follow up the proposal with the relevant parties. He said that 98 Reformation has become part of the history of Indonesia, a nation that gave birth to freedom of expression, democracy, and openness. Jokowi also hopes that in the current era of openness, all parties can use it to contribute to the progress of the nation.
Mengenai gelar pahlawan nasional atau mungkin pemberian bintang jasa, saya kira akan.
Regarding the title as a national hero or bintang jasa, an honorary medal, it will soon follow up, and I will also pass it on to all 98 activists. Therefore, a marker that 98 has opened the greatest space for freedom of expression, a more democratic society, freedom of the press. I think we should have a marker that the era is the beginning of an era of openness and an era of freedom in our country. And we hope that in the long term, it will give a space to contribute to our nation and people. In addition to set the National Hero title for students who died in the 98 incident, the 98 National Consultative Council also requested that the 7th of July be commemorated as the Day of Unity in Diversity, as well as asking President Joko Widodo to thoroughly investigate the human rights violations that have occurred. The activists also expressed their commitment to keep the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia from the threat of intolerance, radicalism, and terrorism, and reject the use of ethnicity, religion, and races in political practice in Indonesia. The activists are also committed to continuing the 98 reformation struggle against the practice of corruption, collusion, and nepotism in the state. Russia and Indonesia are two friendly countries with a long history of relationships in various fields, including politics. Relations between the two countries have been in existence for more than six decades. At that time, the Russian Federation Republic was called the Soviet Union. In the political sphere, the Russian Federation shows its close relationship with Indonesia through its full support to Indonesia in the election of UN Security Council members on 2019-2020 period. The Russian Federation expects Indonesia to be able to properly implement its foreign policy agenda through the UNSC. This was conveyed by the Russian Federation Ambassador to Indonesia, Lyudmila Vorobieva, in his speech at the Russian National Day in Jakarta Friday night.
Russia and Indonesia have a long history of relationship, traditionally based on principles of friendship, mutual understanding, and quality dialogue. As a natural demonstration of our perfect political relationship, was Russia's support for Indonesia to be elected as non-permanent member of the UN Security Council for the period of 2019-2020. We sincerely congratulate Indonesia on this victory and wish all success in implementing its political agenda in the framework of this key international organization. Indonesia is one of our main partners in the Asia-Pacific region and among ASEAN countries.
On the same occasion, Ambassador Vorobieva also congratulated Indonesia that will host the 2018 Asian Games in August. According to him, the 2018 Asian Games has significance for Russia because the main activities will be performed at Gelora Bung Karno Stadium, Jakarta, which was built by the Soviet Union from the special request of First President Sukarno in 1962. Ambassador Vorobieva also thanked the presence of one of President Sukarno's daughter, Rahmawati Sukarno Putri, in the event. 14 Indonesians consisting of academics, researchers, and journalists left for Germany on Saturday to study Muslim life in Germany in a two-week program sponsored by Goethe Institute, a German state-sponsored cultural institution. The group will explore different places, including universities, and talk with experts and activists, such as those at Bahira Institute, which works to deradicalize certain refugees from the Middle East. They will also analyze the diversity of Muslim communities in secular Germany and how these communities interact with the wider German people. Goethe said in a statement that the aims of the program was to provide insight into the daily life of Muslims in Germany and to shed light on their long history and influence in German society. Germany, alongside France, holds one of the largest Muslim populations in Europe. Muslims' population have grown exponentially in Germany from several thousands when the first batch of Turkish migrant workers came in 1945 to more than 4 million people in 2015. As a secular state, Islamophobia existed, said Henrik Bloemeke, Goethe's regional director for Southeast Asia, Australia, and New Zealand. However, according to Bloemeke, part of Islamophobia has nothing to do with Islam, but rather more of a response to religion as Germany is a secular state. He added that all of Western society have gone through fights about what the role of the state is and what the role of the church is. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Ministry of Agriculture and the FAO Emergency Center for Transboundary Animal Disease, ACTAD, Indonesia, warned farmers on the threats to the national poultry sector from avian influenza and other viruses. According to a statement received on Saturday, In early 2017, Indonesia detected H9N2 low pathogenic avian influenza virus that causes a drop in egg production of up to 70% on affected farms. The ministry along with FAO, ACTAD promptly responded to control the virus, including training of district veterinary service officers on farms, technical support, and raising poultry farmers awareness of best farming practices. On Thursday, July 5th, the ministry and FAO-ACTAD conducted a national poultry farmers seminar at the annual Indo Livestock Exposition at the Jakarta Convention Center. The seminar aimed to raise awareness on poultry disease prevention through effective farm biosecurity, appropriate flock vaccination, and good on-farm management practices to reduce the risks from disease agents. Animal Health Director of the Ministry of Agriculture, Fajar Sumping, at the opening of the seminar, said that Indonesia faced challenges in tackling the H9N2 virus, which causes egg drop syndrome. In the past, Indonesia was dealing only with highly pathogenic avian influenza virus H5N1, and Indonesia was able to produce good vaccines for that virus. However, for H9N2, Indonesia is still facing difficulties to produce a good vaccine. Indonesia's top seeds in mixed and men's doubles advanced to the 2018 Indonesia Open Finals on Saturday, July 7, putting on dominating performances against their compatriots before thousands of spectators at Istora Senayan. World number one pair Tontowi Ahmad and Liliana Natsir outclasses their juniors Hafiz Faisal and Gloria Emmanuel Wijaya 21-18 and 21-8 in Saturday's semifinals. Tontowi said their opponents were not in top form in the semifinal match despite showing laudable performances in various rounds. Hafiz and Gloria made their way to the semifinals after beating sixth-seeded pair Christina Pedersen and Mathias Christiansen of Denmark in the second round and senior compatriots Ricky Karanda Suwardi and Debbie Susanto in Friday's quarterfinals. Hafiz said that their opponents were calmer and they had learned his style. In the final, Tontowi and Liliana, the 2016 Rio Olympics gold medalists, will face Goh Liu Ying and Chang Ong Soon of Malaysia in a rematch of the Rio final. In the men's doubles, world number one pair Kevin Sanjaya Sukamulyo and Marcus Fernandi Gideon crushed Fajar Alfian and M. Bien Ardianto to reach the final of the top-level tournament. Kevin and Marcus beat their fellow countrymen 21-13 and 21-10. The Indonesians will face 7th-seeded pair Takuto Inoue and Yuki Kaneko of Japan in the final. Residents living about 1 kilometer from an equestrian facility in Pulau Mas, East Jakarta, have been banned from slaughtering animals during Idul Adha on August 22nd in a bid to prevent spreading the anthrax virus to horses that will compete in the 2018 Asian Games. The city administration said there were 17 cattle farms and 40 slaughtering horses near the equestrian facility. Jakarta Deputy Governor Sandiaga Uno said the city administration had provided those establishments with information about the ban, which is regulated under a governor instruction. Sandiaga said recently in Jakarta that he hopes residents understand about the ban. He added the Asian Games Committee had received a Equine Disease Free Zone EDFZ status from the World Organization for Animal Health, as it had ensured the venue would be clean and safe for the horses competing in the event. He added the certificate was a requirement to host the equestrian competition. The Livestock and Animal Health Section Head of at the East Jakarta Fisheries, Agriculture and Food Security Agency, Irma Budiani, said the residents living near the equestrian facility might consider slaughtering the animals outside the area. Well, listener, that was the news.
Hi,
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with My Indonesia. Today, it's on Palembang Siaga 112 Service Launch. The grand event of the four-yearly Sport of Asia, the 2018 Asian Games, will be held on August the 18th until September the 2nd. The so-called second-largest sport organization after the Olympics will be held in two cities, Jakarta and Palembang. In connection with the grand event, the Ministry of Communication and Informatics, together with the Provincial Government of South Sumatra, the Asian Games Committee of Indonesia in Nasgok, and the City Government of Palembang and telecommunication service providers inaugurated the emergency call service 112 Palembang Siaga 112 at Griya Agung Palembang on Thursday, July the 5th. Director General of Post and Informatics Implementation, Ahmad M. Ramli, said Palembang Siaga 112 is an emergency services program for all involved in the Asian Games 2018. According to Ramli, this multilingual facility is provided for athletes, officials, and other guests from 45 countries. Participants of the Asian Games who will be present in the city of Palembang during the event from August the 18th until September the 2nd. The services provided are to receive and dispatch emergency assistance requests through telecommunication networks in Palembang City and beyond. This 112 service is almost the same as the 112 services available in various cities in Indonesia. The difference, Palembang Siaga 112 is provided with services in Bahasa Indonesia, English, Arabic, Chinese, Korean, and Japanese. Ahmad M. Ramli explained that in addition to the foreign guests and athletes of the Asian Games, the community can also contact the number directly through landlines and cellular phones from all telecommunication operators at no cost. The toll-free service provider will receive and follow up on community reports related to fires, crimes, accidents, ambulance needs, and emergency health care subscription. This emergency service can be adopted by all communication operators. Meanwhile, Alex Nurdin, on behalf of the governor of South Sumatra, said the situation of Palembang and surrounding areas is quite safe. But with the service of Palembang Siaga 112, he thanked the launching of this emergency service. This service makes it easier for people or athletes, officials, and guests who come to Palembang if they need emergency assistance. Palembang City became the 17th city to organize the emergency call service 112. Previously, this service had been implemented in 10 cities as pilot project, namely in Bogor, Depok, Tangerang, Bandung, Batam, Surakarta, Denpasar, Balikpapan, Mataram, and Makassar. Well, that was My Indonesia Today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day. This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll start with July 8, 1976, Palapa satellite is launched. The Palapa A1 satellite is the first satellite owned by Indonesia and operated by Perumtel. Palapa A1 was launched on July 8, 1976 with Delta 2914 rocket and operated from July 9, 1976 to 1983. The satellite was the beginning of the Palapa satellite program that began in February 1975. Palapa was launched from Kennedy Space Center because the contract was awarded to Boeing Satellite Systems. In addition to Palapa A1, 9 Earth stations, 1 main control station, and 2 A2 satellites are also built. After entering the operational period, 6 of the 12 Palapa A1 transponders were used for telephone applications, while the other one was used by national television and the remaining 5 were used as reserves. The satellite ceased operation in June 1985. Thank you. Happening to July 8, 1994, Kim Il-sung dies. Kim Il-sung is a Korean communist politician who led North Korea from 1948 to the day of his death on July 8, 1994. He served as prime minister and president, but his most influential position was the secretary general of the Korean Labor Party. In the context of personality worship, Kim is officially named the great leader, and according to the North Korean constitution, he is the eternal president of the country. His birthday is one of the holidays in North Korea. I'll end with July 8, 2009, presidential election in Indonesia. General election of President and Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia 2009 was held to elect the President and Vice President for the 2009-2014 period. Voting was held on July 8, 2009. Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono Budiono couples managed to become winners in one round directly with 60.80% vote, defeating the pair Megawati Soekarnoputri Prabowo Subianto and Muhammad Yusuf Kala Wiranto. The inauguration of the President and Vice President for the 2009-2014 period took place on Tuesday, October 20, 2009, at Gedung Nusantara Senayan in plenary session of the People's Consultative Assembly of Indonesia. Well, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Highlight of the Week presents Issues of the Week.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with this week's spotlight, which today is on World Bank President praises stunting handling in Indonesia. President Joko Widodo welcomed the arrival of World Bank President Jim Yong Kim and his entourage at the Bogor Presidential Palace on Wednesday, July 4. After the meeting, President Joko Widodo invited World Bank President Jim Yong Kim to see the government's program in dealing with growth problems in children or stunting in Tangkil Village, Caringin Subdistrict, Bogor Regency, West Java on Wednesday afternoon. In a statement, President Joko Widodo said he deliberately invited the president of World Bank to see firsthand the way the Indonesian government handled the stunting, which is common in developing countries. On the same occasion, World Bank President Jim Yong Kim praised the Indonesian government handling of the stunting issue. He invites the world to learn from Indonesia related to stunting handling. Indonesia has shown that with strong leadership and political commitment, the use of technology by embracing all stakeholders involved, stunting can be overcome. Jim Yong Kim reminded the problem of growth disorders in children or stunting must be handled quickly because it concerns the development of children and its relation to the contribution to the development of the country. Related to that, the president of the World Bank said that handling stunting requires strong commitment and leadership from the government. He considers that the commitment has been shown by President Joko Widodo and can be modeled by other developing countries. Meanwhile, Vice President Expert Team Chairman Sofyan Wanandi said the World Bank is committed to provide a soft loan of $400 million and will be disbursed next year. Sofyan Wanandi added that the government has also received commitment from several companies to overcome malnutrition problem of children or stunting in the next few years. As planned, soft loans from the World Bank will enter into the state budget 2019 and allocated to the budgets of related ministries and institutions dealing with stunting. According to Sofyan Wanandi, the amount of funds is quite large because the population of Indonesia is also quite a lot, accompanied by a wide area. According to him, the World Bank said it would make Indonesia as an example of a successful country handling stunting for other countries in the world. So the World Bank has an interest also to show Indonesia as a pilot project to solve the problem of poverty and stunting successfully. That was Spotlights this week over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Here is news in brief from Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo answered the request of a number of 98 activists at the 98 National Activist Meeting on Saturday, July 7 in Jakarta. A number of requests were made regarding the establishment of a national hero, a title for a number of students who were victims of the 1998 reform movement. Russia and Indonesia are two friendly countries with a long history of relationships in various fields, including politics. Relations between the two countries have been in existence for more than six decades. This was conveyed by the Russian Federation Ambassador to Indonesia, Luimila Vorovieva, in his speech at the Russian National Day in Jakarta Friday night. 14 Indonesians consisting of academics, researchers, and journalists left for Germany on Saturday to study Muslim life in Germany in a two-week program sponsored by Goethe Institute, a German state-sponsored cultural institution. The group will explore different places, including universities, and talk with experts and activists such as those at Bahira Institute, which works to deradicalize certain refugees from the Middle East. Indonesian Ministry of Agriculture and the FAO Emergency Center for Transboundary Animal Disease, ACTAD, Indonesia, warned farmers on the threats to the national poultry sector from avian influenza and other viruses. According to a statement received on Saturday, Indonesia detected H9N2 low pathogenic avian influenza virus that causes a drop in egg production of up to 70% on affected farms. Indonesia's top seeds in mixed and men's doubles advanced to the 2018 Indonesia Open finals on Saturday, putting on dominating performances against their compatriots before thousands of spectators at Istora Senayan. World number one pair Tantowi Ahmad and Liliana Nasir outclassed their juniors Hafiz Faisal and Gloria Emmanuel Wijaya with 21-18 and 21-8 in Saturday semifinals. Residents living about 1 kilometer from an equestrian facility in Pulau Mas, East Jakarta, have been banned from slaughtering animals during Idul Adha on August 22nd. In a bid to prevent spreading the anthrax virus to horses that will compete in the 2018 Asian Games. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Indonesia is the largest archipelago country in the world. Indonesia, a country with diverse ethnicities, cultures, and languages, where the hospitality of its people becomes a thing to be missed. Are you dreaming of visiting this beautiful land? Come on! Realize your dream by following VOI International Quiz 2018. If you're lucky, you will get a vacation and enjoy the charm of Indonesia for free. You just need to answer the following question. 1. Please mention one or more historic buildings in Bandung that you know. 2. How do you listen to Voice of Indonesia? Streaming or shortwave, and why? 3. What is your favorite program? Send your answer along with your identity, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI Quiz 2018 at voinews.id before July 31st, 2018, 2400 hours UTC. VOI International Quiz 2018, presented by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a regular segment featuring Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, art and culture, and also culinary. Today, I will take you to East Java, to be exact to Surabaya, to try typical culinary of East Java, Kupang Lontong. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In addition to shortwave, you can also listen to this program at www.voinews.id. Surabaya City, besides known in Indonesia as a hero city, it is also popular for its culinary like Kupang Lontong. Kupang Lontong is a traditional culinary that is difficult to find in areas other than East Java, and even then only in some cities. This is because Kupang is a kind of river shells or oysters that live colonized in salty aquatic mud. The size is very small. The Latin name of Kupang or the white shell is Cobula faba. Kupang lontong is very tasty and delicious, but even so, it is rarely found in the menu at restaurants. This is because usually kupang lontong is only sold in stalls or side streets. Kupang lontong is usually served with lento, which is grated cassava, mixed with tolo beans, grated coconut and garlic, plus oriander, salt and sugar. Sometimes kupang lontong is also combined with shellfish satay or skewer. Kupang lontong, which is typical food of Surabaya, is mostly found in Kenjeran Beach. To prepare the dish is quite simple. Kupang or shellfish is boiled, then add some pepper mixed with garlic. The mixture is then diluted by adding a little broth of kupang stew. Then add it with satay or clams in skewer, sambal petis, and also a sprinkling of fried onion. There are some people who are worried about the allergies due to eating kupang lontong, but still many who do not want to miss this typical culinary of East Java, especially when visiting Surabaya. They believe that for allergy, coconut water is good as a cure. Young coconut water not only cleanses your thirst, but also serves as an antidote to the toxins contained in kupang. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today, introducing East Java specialties Kupang Lontong. Let's meet again tomorrow with the same event. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener, now let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Meselini, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, custom and tradition, environment and technology, also lifestyle. This edition will be exploring the topic of headset to reduce jaw pain. Stay tuned to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at frequencies of 9525 kHz or www.voinews.id. Headset is usually used for listening to sound or music. This tool is also used for other activities such as the hearing aids in the language laboratory. But recently, a number of students from the University of Gajah Mada, Yogyakarta, developed headset as a health aid. Amri Sidik Pangestu from the Faculty of Engineering, Eltrin Khotimah Maharti and Nur Zahrab Sekarningrum from the Faculty of Dentistry found out this device was developed to help provide relaxation in the muscle around the jaws of patients who perform dental care. This headset can reduce the pain in the jaw. Dental care is often leads to discomfort such as sore and stiff in the jaw area due to opening the mouth wide. In fact, in some cases, patients still feel sore for a long time. This potentially leads to disruption of the mastication system or temporomandibular disorder, TMD. However, the problem can now be resolved with GUSTA or Gajah Mada Ultrasound Therapy. According to Amri, GUSTA is a health equipment innovation capable of emitting precise ultrasonic waves so it can provide a sense of comfort and relax the muscles around the jaw. He emphasized ultrasonic waves actually have long been used in the medical world. These waves are known to cure the pain and stiffness of the muscles by producing mechanical and thermal effects. From there, the effects are able to increase the temperature and surrounding tissues as well as blood flow. This tool is composed of 7 main components, namely microcontroller, ultrasonic, wave generator, input-output, and headphone. In addition, there are temperature sensors, LCD, and ultrasound transducer. According to Amri, the working of this tool is to convert existing electrical signals. People who wear the headsets will adjust with the jaw point, after which the power button is turned on to turn on the tool. Frequency can be arranged according to patient comfort. Meanwhile, Nur Zahra added, before removing the frequency, this tool will be given some gel to minimize uncomfortable skin contact and maximize the effect of ultrasonic wave emission. The use of GUSTA not only provides a sense of comfort for the patient, but can also facilitate the doctor while performing dental and mouth care. Because it has LCD, which displays GUSTA temperature and frequency. If mass produced, this tool is expected to sell for 2.5 million rupiahs. This invention came from the Student Creativity Program Karsa Cipta UGM 2018. That was Miscellany over Voice of Indonesia.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Abdel Kader Halil in Algeria. He was listening to our broadcast in French program through live streaming on June 27th and 30th, 2018. Hello, Mr. Abdel Kader Halil. Thank you very much for your reception reports of our broadcast, which are very detailed. Your emails have been forwarded to French section. Hopefully, you will be patient to wait for replying your email. As information, our broadcast can be heard again through shortwaves on frequency 3325 kHz. Once again, 3325 kHz. Well, Mr. Abdel Kader Halil, please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your report. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Kau menangis, ceritakan semua yang engkau mau. Percaya padaku, aku lelakimu. Mungkin pelukku tak sehangat senja. Ucapku tak mengepus air mata, tapi ku di sini sebagai lelakimu. Akulah yang tetap memelukmu erat saat kau berpikir mungkin kau tetap tegar
listener. Now we will reply an email from Dr. Dilip Kumar Sarkar in India. He was listening to our broadcast in English through frequency 3325 kHz on June 19, 2018 at 17 past 31 until 17 past 53 UTC. And the SIN code was 54454. Hello, Mr. Dilip Kumar Sarkar. Thank you for your email which contained of your reception report. We are glad because finally our regular listener in India can listen to our broadcast clearly through 3325 kHz. As your request, we will send our key SL card to your address. Please be patient to wait for it. Thank you. So, please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your report. For you, we'll play a beautiful song.
Tak pernah kubayangkan secepat ini. Aku takutkan benar terjadi adanya perbedaan mengalahkan rasa, dan kita menyerah kalah pada keadaan. Kau putuskan pergi melepaskan kita. Tuhan, kita cuma satu, kita yang hadapilah ini sebagai pelajaran hidup. Kau putuskan pergi melepaskan kita. Tuhan, kita cuma satu, kita
bye.
are still listening to Listener's Mailbag podcast every Sunday. Now, we continue to reply a tweet from Shinichi Suzuki in Japan. He was listening to our broadcast in Indonesian program through frequency 3325 kHz on June 25, 2018, at 14 o'clock until 14:59 UTC. In his email, Mr. Shinichi Suzuki said that our broadcast has strong signal and there was no interference. Hello, Mr. Shinichi Suzuki. Thank you very much for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We very appreciate. Although you do not understand Indonesian language, you still kept listening to our broadcast until the end. Not only that, your reception report is very detailed in every single minute. And for your information, we still broadcast our program in Japanese language and also other 7 foreign languages, namely English, Mandarin, Arab, French, Spanish, German, and the newest, Dutch language. We are really sorry for your inconvenience on our frequency 9525 kHz. Our old frequency is being repaired, and if you cannot hear our Japanese program through 3325 kHz, we will deliver your complaint to our technical division. Well, Mr. Shinichi Suzuki, hopefully our information can be useful for you. So, please keep listening to our broadcast. For you, we will play a beautiful song.
Maafkan aku tak bisa memahami maksud amarahmu. Membaca dan mengerti isi hatimu. Ampuni aku yang telah memasuki kalian mencoba mencari celah dalam hatimu. Aku tahu ku takkan bisa menjadi seperti yang engkau minta, namun selama nafas berembus, aku kan mencoba menjadi seperti yang kau minta. Ampuni aku yang telah memasuki kehidupan kau.
Listener, before we end our listener's mailbag, We want to reply an email from Kenji Takahashi in Japan. He was listening to our broadcast in Japanese program through frequency 3325 kHz on June 16, 2018. He also told that he sent a letter by post and also enclosed $1. Hello, Mr. Kenji Takahashi. Thank you for your email on our broadcast. Our Japanese section has received your last letter, and the section told that your letter is being replied. As your request, the Japanese section will send our KSL card to your address. Please be patient to wait for it. Thank you. Well, Mr. Kenji Takahashi, please keep monitoring and sending your reception report of our broadcast. Thank you. Listener, wherever you are, we inform you that we have a new program on RRINet. This program is broadcast from Monday to Friday at 9 p.m. until 10 p.m. West Indonesia time, or 2 p.m. until 3 p.m. UTC. This program enables you not only listen but also watch our program just like watching TV. And this is how to access VOI English News Service via RRI Play. First, download RRI Play mobile application from Google Play. Then, open RRI Play application. Choose RRI Net 720 pixel. Before we sign out our segment mailbag, we want to say hello to Mas Bin Shahzad, Siddhartha Bhattacharji, Rakesh Rao Hamza Belakal, and other regular listener who always listen to our radio. Well, listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. voi@voinews.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Putri Savitri Ardela. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Kau buat sirna, sudahlah harapanku hidup bersamamu. Ada satu hal yang tak bisa dihindar.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.